My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Let's power rank the power rankings. Tuesday morning, man. They all come out like around 8 o'clock. I love it. And it's so much more fun now. When we started doing this a couple of years ago, we were like, hey, the best power rankings out there. And we're, to be very transparent, the higher you rank the Texans, the more we like your power rankings on this show. So
yeah,
it's nice.
We'd get excited about them cracking the 20s.
Having a 2 in front of it. Like, oh,
yeah. That doesn't mean, 20 or 21. It was, oh, wow, they're 29.
27. Ooh,
that's not bad. Look at that, making moves in the world.
That's it, man. They live in the lofty atmosphere of all the big cheeses at 25. Yeah.
It's like, hey, my wife showered today.
That's right.
Yeah. Things are looking up. Huh? It's been a while, but she showered.
She bought deodorant. Yeah. those days are over, man. And I'm telling you right now, I said earlier in the show, my prediction – based on the fact that the Texans are winning, they're 2-0, they're winning games in ways that people didn't expect them to win necessarily. People love defense when it comes to just buying into a team. They love offense to watch. They love defense when it comes into buying into the viability of a team winning a Super Bowl. I said they're going to be in the top 5 of all these. Last week they were top 5 in a couple. They were like 6th, 7th, 10th in one. That person, idiot. So let's see where they are. Are they in the top 5 in the 5 power rankings that we use for purposes of this exercise? We power rank the power rankings. 5th place on the power rankings is SI.com. And they are 5th place because there are multiple outlets that have the Texans in this particular spot, but they believed the least in the Texans last week. They had them all the way down at 10th. They now have the Texans at 4th.
What? Oh, that is a leap.
4th. The worst of the rankings for the Texans is 4th. We can get nervous about this if we want to, but here is what Connor Orr, who does the SI Power Ranking, says about the Houston Texans. 12 pressures and 5 sacks is impressive. Okay, they had 7 sacks technically, but I actually like what Connor Orr did here. 2 of their sacks were like tackles of Caleb Williams scrambles. At the line of scrimmage. So there were like 5 real sacks in that game, you know?
Yeah, Alshire's sack, which was one. Alshire's sack was, I think, probably maybe one of the biggest welcome to the NFL moments for Caleb Williams, because he did a great job scrambling. He really did. It was impressive. Like I said, I almost say it without snark. He had some of the most athletically impressive sacks and interceptions I've seen. He was very elusive, and yet it wasn't the Pac-12 anymore.
No.
just like the actual Pac-12.
Right.
It is not.
They're making a comeback.
That is right. Man, it's a different deal when you scramble in the NFL.
It's not
that it's ever easy, but it's a lot harder in the NFL.
Yeah, so here's what Connor Orr says. 12 pressures, 5 sacks is impressive. Seeing D'Amico Ryan strategically change his stripes and blitz Caleb Williams on nearly half of his dropbacks, also impressive. The Texans coach showed he has plenty of clubs in the bag that we haven't seen yet. This is critical to the kind of evolution Houston needed to take in or needed to make in 2024 to go from good to great.
Yeah. I think the big thing too is when you look at a lot of the pressures that they did use, the blitzes, they're the kinds of blitzes you can get away with if you trust your coverage, because some of them were pretty late developing. When you've got defensive linemen that have to go from one side of the center all the way over to contain on the other side, you're trying to delay the blitz so the linebacker doesn't show it and he's coming from deep. All of that stuff takes time to develop, and if you don't trust your coverage, you're going to get screwed. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody's going to be open. The quarterback's going to have time. So, but especially when you're facing a rookie quarterback where he's less likely to take advantage of that, that was impressive. I think if I were a Bears fan, if I were trying to make a case for Caleb, I might say that, look, the reason the Texans were doing that was because Caleb had at least demonstrated that if the Texans sit back and play vanilla coverage, he's capable of getting the easy stuff, you know, of the short, more precise stuff, finding holes in coverage, which is not every rookie quarterback can do that. Now, not all of them get drafted number one overall.
That's right. Yeah, heavy is a head that wears the crown for sure. All right, number four on the power ranking of the power rankings is ESPN.com, who, just like SI.com, had the Texans 10th last week and has them 4th this week. But I put them 4 instead of 5 because I like DJ Bienemae. And DJ had a really good piece on CJ Stroud last week. So DJ, you're the tiebreaker in this. Here's what DJ says. Their category, by the way, this week is most important backup / role player. And DJ says running back Damian Pierce. Here's why. With running back Joe Mixon's availability unknown because of an ankle, Pierce might be asked to step up and carry the load. The Texans' passing attack is averaging 219 yards through 2 weeks. The offense is at its best when it can run the ball. Houston scored 20 points with Mixon's 159 yards, or 29 points with Mixon rushing for 159 yards in week one, but it was limited to 19 points in week two as he posted just 25 yards. Pierce had 416 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns in 14 games as a backup last season. So Pierce missed week two with a hamstring injury. So if there's no Joe Mixon, it's either Damian Pierce coming back this week or it's Cam Akers, I would imagine.
Sean, let me ask you, were you and Clint talking about Cam Akers versus Damian Pierce in the post game?
Probably.
After that game?
At some point, I think so.
Because at some point, sometimes people confuse you and me, especially when they're drunk, because at like midnight after that game, randomly, after just I had tweeted something, I guess it was right after the, this guy says to me, Akers is not better than Pierce, idiot. And I'm like, this is odd.
Well, if we did talk about Cam Akers, it probably was within the context of him having, you know, showing more than Pierce so far as a Texan. Yeah.
I think this is what happened, because I replied, this is oddly aggressive. Drunk? And he didn't answer that question.
Okay.
All he said was, tell your bald co-host to issue an apology to Damian tomorrow. First of all, masterful wittiness there, pointing out that somebody's bald.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, that hurt.
You should be invited to the Friars.
You're going to do the rest of the show, Seth. Sorry.
Yes. And also, he never addressed whether or not he was drunk. So I think he must have been listening to you. I do think, look, for one, Damian had some bad turnovers on the goal line 2 years ago in the middle of that really impressive season. So I'm not going to act like Cam Akers all of a sudden, because of his fumble after some nice runs in that game and on that drive, is all of a sudden worthless or something. I think that when Damian's in the game, just by the way the Colts linebackers looked that they were playing when Damian was in the game in Indianapolis, and Damian did a good job, I think defenses know more what to expect, and they're not as threatened by the outside run.
Mm-hmm.
So with Cam Akers in the game, I think defenses have to be a little bit more honest, and it probably helps fuel the play action better. So it's not just about what yards per carry are or anything like that. It's what are your personnel doing to make the defense uncomfortable or uncertain? And I think Cam still does more of that than Damian does. But, you know, that's theory at this point. Yeah. We won't know. If Mixon's out, I'm guessing both those guys are going to get a lot of touches, as well as Gumbawale and maybe even a British Brooks.
Well, if Pierce is out still, I mean, it's a hamstring, so who knows? I mean, right. Pierce missed. So if they're both out, we might get some British Brooks in week three against Minnesota.
But let's say if Pierce is healthy, I'm saying that I think it would be pretty much split probably between those two, or going with a hot hand.
Yep, I totally agree with that. I'm just anxious to see if Damian comes back this week. We'll see. Hamstrings are weird. All right, number three in the power ranking of the power rankings. We had SI.com 5. They have the Texans 4th. Had them 10th last week. We had ESPN.com 4th. They've got the Texans 4th. Had them 10th last week. Number three, The Athletic. They, too, have the Texans 4th in the power rankings, but they're high. We're pushing The Athletic because they already had the Texans at 4 last week. They're not bandwagoning. They already believed in the Texans. So they're The Athletic, we've got 3rd. Here's what they say about the 4th-rated Texans. The Texans have played the Colts and the Bears, so maybe their defensive stats shouldn't be lauded quite yet. But if Houston does have a forceful defense to go along with C.J. Stroud, the hype might be real. 4 Texans had multiple quarterback hits on Sunday, and Houston leads the league in sack rate, according to True Media, 18.8%. So they sacked the quarterback. I'm sorry, 13.8%. They sack the quarterback 13.8% of the time the QB drops back to pass. It's 9th. They are 9th in defensive success rate, whatever that is, 63.3%. So this particular ranking is saying, man, if they got a real defense, the Texans could win this thing.
Success rate, I think, is just like on any given play, is that a win or a loss for the team, for the defense. And the Colts game was they had too many big losses on specific downs in that game, despite playing, I think, better than the Colts on a down in, down out basis. I think the thing about the defensive performance is, all right, it was a little bit of a curveball. It was something that the Bears probably didn't expect, that DeMeco was going to blitz as much as he's ever blitzed since he's been in Houston. And the question now is, all right, is this going to become their identity? The team that the Texans are playing, the Vikings, they're a team that blitzes a lot. They blitzed a lot last year. It was really good for Danielle Hunter. He played well in that scheme. So it might be something that the Texans end up doing a lot more this year than I thought they would. Partly just because I think they feel really good about their cornerbacks. And it's just hard to blitz if you don't have guys who can play man coverage. And I think they feel better and better about that duo back there as Kamari Lassiter gets tested more and more.
Yep. Then they both had great games on Sunday, the two starting corners. All right, we're down to it now, man. Number two in the power ranking of the power rankings, NFL.com. Eric Edholm has the Texans 3rd. Up from 6th last week. In Eric Edholm's mind, the only two teams better than the Texans are the Kansas City Chiefs. And despite a loss to the Vikings, he still has San Francisco at number 2. He has the Texans 3rd, just ahead of the Bills. Here's what he says. The Texans blitzed Caleb Williams and won the game. Man, a lot of people noticed those blitzes. With a slew of disruptive defensive plays. They saw him getting comfy early and decided to upend that right away. It was good coaching and execution. However, the sloppy Texans also committed 12 penalties, settled for 4 long field goals, and lost a fumble inside the Bears' 5-yard line with a chance to put the game away. On the one hand, it was nice to see Houston's defense take over a game, but on the other, it was disappointing that the Texans kept the Bears in a game they had little business being in after a certain point. The C.J. Stroud show keeps rolling. Nico Collins is a legit star, but the Texans have more to clean up before they're in that truly elite tier. Okay, they're 3rd in your rankings, bro. Like, they have more to clean up before they're in that truly elite tier. They are 3rd in your rankings, I will say that.
I think that...
That's all true. I agree with all that, what he said, by the way.
Just being ahead of the Bills right now, given the way that they looked in their second game, I don't want them there yet. I want the Texans, even though I predicted that the Bills... I didn't think the Bills were going to be as good as preseason projections. We'll see how the rest of the season plays out, but so far I'm losing that one. This is where I start to get into that territory of like, yeah, okay, that's all right, Eric. So, yeah, as far as like gaining actual admission into the club, you got to – the last time the Texans played an actual team was against the Baltimore Ravens last year.
Yep.
That was a different team, obviously, and this one made a lot of improvements. But until they actually earn entrance into that club of genuinely elite teams, I want to see them beat one or two genuine NFL quarterbacks.
Okay.
And they haven't done that
yet. Well, you're not going to like this. Number one in the power ranking of the power rankings, Pete Prisco, CBSSports.com. He, too, has the Texans third, but he already had them at fifth. So he believed in them a little bit more than Ed Holm did. So he gets bumped up. Here's what Pete Prisco says. This will be quick because he does like one sentence on each team. Even on a night when the offense wasn't clicking, the defense came up big against the Bears. That pressure up front was the difference in the game. He's got the Bills at number two. That Bills game, I mean, I know the Texans aren't looking that far ahead, the players and coaches, but we're allowed to because we're radio hosts. I mean, if the... That Bills game in Week 5 is shaping up to be a monster right now.
Yeah, I know, and I honestly think this is where, if you look at the arc of Josh Allen's career, I think Brian Daboll was probably really good for Josh Allen. Then he ended up with an offensive coordinator in Ken Dorsey that maybe wasn't the best thing for Josh Allen. And now with, Brady, right?
Joe Brady.
I think Joe Brady and spending an entire offseason with him and building on what they did last year, he may have taken that proverbial next step to where now he's actually seeing the field, the entire field, not just trying to force it to Stephon Diggs or whomever else. And you might see the best version of Josh Allen this year.
Yeah. So far, so good. I would say, like, if this were just truly being judged like a beauty contest where how you style points mattered in this whole thing, the New Orleans Saints have been the most impressive team so far this season. You know, I know it was Carolina they beat up in Week 1, but they scored literally on every single possession. They could not have done any more to decimate the Carolina Panthers. They are 50% responsible for ending Bryce Young's career as a Panther. The Chargers are the other 50.
Let's say the Saints end up having almost the exact same season that the Texans did last year. Let's say the record ends up the same, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And Derek Carr, I mean, obviously Derek Carr is a veteran quarterback, so it's going to be different than with C.J. Stroud.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's say the Texans advance to the AFC Championships or something really impressive like that.
Yeah.
Who gets more of a head coach buzz? Do you think it's Bobby Slowick or offensive coordinator for the Saints, Clint Kubiak?
I think it'll be Kubiak. I think he's got the pedigree for one.
Yeah,
you know, he's got the last name, but if he resurrects Derek Carr's career to the extent that they're 10-7, and the reason they're 10-7 is because Carr is in the MVP conversation, I think it'll be Clint Kubiak.
I think they'll both,
but I think Kubiak more.
I think that'll be that 100% is probably going to be what happens if the Saints are able to continue doing this.
Yeah,
because also that's the other thing. There are a lot of teams out there that might be looking at Kubiak as, wow, he helped develop this young C.J. Stroud into what he is. But C.J.'s almost at the point now where people are just flat out giving C.J. Stroud the credit, that's fair or not, because he's that good. But also, I think there are more teams out there that look at it and think, well, we've got this veteran quarterback that we're not quite sure about, and boy, Clint Kubiak might be just the thing to turn Brian Hoyer or whomever else historically, or Ryan Fitzpatrick type. If you've got one of those guys, Baker Mayfield perhaps. This is the guy that is the elixir for him.
The variable that you bring up all the time that we haven't brought up in this particular hypothetical is the run game too. Like, we're 1-for-2 right now in having an effective rushing attack for the Texans this year. It's not just fixed. Joe Mixon ran for 159 yards in Week 1 against a defense that gave up 250 to the Packers with Malik Willis at quarterback in Week 2. So do we know that Bobby Slowick has created a truly effective run game yet? I don't know that we have. The Saints the first 2 weeks, Alvin Kamara's looked amazing so far in Kubiak's offense. So we'll see. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Hey, speaking of, we talked about Bryce Young. In an alternative universe, where are the Texans and the Panthers if the quarterbacks got flipped? Would it be C.J. Stroud that's going through the struggles that Bryce Young is going through right now? We'll kick that one around coming up next.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Yeah, they're asking on Get Up right now or on First Take, is Bryce Young the worst number one overall pick ever? I don't have the list.
Oh my gosh.
I don't have the list in front of me. I mean, it's bad. He's benched for those, and we're going to talk about this in a second. He was benched in Carolina yesterday. Reportedly, Bryce kind of surprised by it, which I think gives a window into some of probably the dysfunction behind the decision and who might be behind it. But, you know, it's ownership, but Dave Canales, the head coach, is taking the bullet for it. We'll talk about all that in a minute. Is Bryce Young the worst number one pick ever? I say no. Without looking at the list, I say no, only because I'll see your Bryce Young and raise you a Jamarcus Russell. Jamarcus Russell is, I would, sight unseen, without having the list in front of me of number one overall picks, I will take Jamarcus Russell. You can have the field, and I will win that debate every day of the week with Jamarcus Russell as the worst number one overall. But Bryce Young, at least, is trying. Bryce Young, at least, is in shape. Bryce Young, I don't think, at least yet, is getting into the purple drink like Jamarcus did at one point. So, yeah, no. Not the, now, really bad. Worst one recently, maybe. But no. So, Bryce Young, the question I have, Seth, is this. In an alternate universe,
yeah,
where are these franchises right now? This is purely hypothetical, but let's just jump into a hypothetical alternate universe. If Carolina takes C.J. Stroud with the number one overall pick, and the Texans take Bryce Young with the number two overall pick, I look, none of us know what that would look like, but I feel pretty confident in saying I don't think Bryce Young is benched by the third week of his second year.
No, I think that it would have been in an actual system that helped him out, and that it, not even trying to heap praise on Bobby Slowick or anything. There's just a little bit more that I think Bobby Slowick executing and running this system can do for a young quarterback than perhaps Frank Reich can. Then, you know, because some of the stuff that Frank Reich has done for quarterbacks is also capitalizing on those guys, their either athleticism or their ability to do things in short bursts, but not necessarily really, like, transform them. So yeah, I would say that Bryce Young would be better off in this system. I don't know how good he'd be, or if he'd be good at all. I mean, we look at, okay, Bryce Young's rookie year versus Davis Mills' rookie year, and different systems, so that's not even it. But this is how bad, I mean, Davis Mills' rookie year was way better than Bryce Young's rookie year.
Oh, yeah.
And this is as supposedly Bryce Young was stepping into a great situation last year.
That's what I was
calling. It did not look that way. Davis Mills was not in a great situation either. But Davis threw like twice as many touchdown passes in his rookie year as Bryce Young did last year.
Davis was very good the last five games. Davis had to come in week two because Tyrod Taylor hurt his hamstring in that Cleveland game. And then Davis did some good things, but then really struggled at one point. They started to get blown out in the middle of that year in games. Yeah. I remember an Arizona game they got blown out in. There was a Colts game they got blown out. And then when Tyrod Taylor was healthy again, they put him back in, and Tyrod Taylor wasn't very good. So they just said, screw it, and they gave the last five games to Davis Mills. And he went 2-3, and it put up very good numbers over those last five games.
Like, I mean, he was 67% of his passes, 16 touchdowns to 10 interceptions. I mean, nothing, you know, rookie of the year caliber or anything. But you look at Bryce Young, and he was, oh my gosh, he was 59.8% completion percentage last year.
Yeah.
11 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. Yeah. So basically, same number of interceptions, but Davis threw a lot more touchdowns. This feels like a depressing competition to be in. But I think it just goes to speak, because somebody had asked, should the Texans trade Davis Mills for Bryce Young? I would say, based on performance in the NFL, hell no.
Right.
And especially because Bryce Young, it would be him learning the system all over again. And I think that right now, if the Texans got some kind of godfather offer for Davis Mills, then they might consider parting with him. But I think that they look at themselves as a Super Bowl competitor, and having a backup quarterback, as we've seen in recent history, can make a big, big difference, not just in the regular season, but potentially in the postseason. And Bryce Young does nothing for you right now. He is not the godfather offer.
No.
Nobody's going to be like, oh, I didn't know Bryce Young was going
to
be available.
It is a fair question to wonder, though, okay, like what, you know, like what conveyor belt is he on right now, Bryce Young? You know what I mean? Because guys get benched as a young quarterback, and you it can go any number of ways. It can be a benching because they feel like he just needs to watch the game from the sideline a little bit, and they'll put him back in. It can be a benching where you're done here, kid, but maybe you get picked up somewhere else, like a Zach Wilson type benching, or
yeah,
a Trey Lance situation, something like that. It could be a benching where you're out of the league altogether. I think Bryce is going to wind up on another NFL team, if not later this year, then next season. I just wonder. I mean, Carolina is so dysfunctional. I wonder if there are teams that had good grades on Bryce Young that feel like, no, this might be, we might be getting a stock, we might be buying low on something that's, well, where there's still something there.
You know, this is, we talked about this last week a little bit, which is that if you're going to take a guy as a quarterback, okay, what's your superpower? What are you good at? All of that. And especially taking somebody number one overall. Okay, with a short quarterback, they better have something that offsets that. And I think the lesson that people probably learned was, you know, I think if Kyler Murray were in the draft again, I think there's a good chance he goes number one overall again. I think the next time a 6 foot or a 5 foot 11 quarterback, a short quarterback comes up and he's not ridiculously athletic or he doesn't have surreal ball placement or anticipation or something like that, then I don't think there's a chance he goes number one overall. You got to offset that height issue with something. I mean, I think you saw with Caleb Williams in that game the other night, there's times where his height hurts him.
Yes.
And he's simply not going to be able to stand in the pocket the way C.J. Stroud can and throw with offensive linemen in his lap. Caleb Williams is going to have to use his athleticism to get out of that, but at least he has that. And he's not the same type of athlete as a Kyler Murray or something, but he's got some escapability that you can see where that'll be an asset. I just don't see that with Bryce Young. And that was one of the things I did hear from scouts and then even some SEC coaches before the draft last year was, it's not like Bryce Young was running away from the best defenders in the SEC. So what exactly are you going to do with this guy that's so threatening on the perimeter if he can't also stand in the pocket and really deliver?
Yeah, we had somebody ask, what would C.J. Stroud be doing if he were on his, you know, third coordinator and third head coach, if you include interim and things like that? My feeling on that is C.J.'s a stabilizer. Like if the Panthers drafted C.J. Stroud, Frank Reich is probably still the head coach there.
I don't, you know, or if not, that's where it is an interesting hypothetical.
Yeah.
I don't think he would have done as well as he did last year.
No doubt.
I think it might have ended up being kind of like Alex Smith in San Francisco.
Uh-huh.
And there's quarterbacks that stick around and you can see what they have or what it might take. We were talking about Josh Allen earlier in the show. I think Josh Allen is not offensive coordinator proof.
Right.
I think he's needed to find that he's done. He did well with Brian Daboll, didn't do well with Ken Dorsey. I mean, the numbers were good and everything, but there was just something that was a little bit. It didn't look like Josh Allen was really becoming the genuine polished veteran NFL quarterback. Whereas now this year with Brady as his offensive coordinator, I think he looks more like a polished NFL quarterback.
Yeah, I agree with that on Allen. I think with CJ, if CJ had gone to Carolina, that means he would have been the number one overall pick, like Burrow was the number one overall pick in Cincinnati. And you brought up Burrow's rookie year earlier. If I remember correctly, Burrow got hurt towards the... He definitely got hurt because the Texans didn't face him that year at the end of the season. They faced some backup. If I'm not mistaken, Burrow didn't win a bunch of games his rookie year. I think he was 2-7-1 his rookie year.
Yeah.
But he looked good. You know, like you tell there was something there. Now, I don't know if CJ would have been able to overcome the dysfunction with the Teppers the way that Burrow was able to overcome the dysfunction with the Brown family in Cincinnati and ultimately the next year get them to a Super Bowl. Probably not. That's just a crazy arc. But I do think that would have been, to me, the doppelganger for CJ would have been. I think he probably would have looked good, and you could see and go, there's definitely something there with this kid, but they wouldn't have won a bunch of games like he did with the Texans last year.
The biggest thing is that Burrow did well without a good offensive line in front of him.
Yeah.
So there were times where it was, now, even though he was guilty in his first few years of taking too many sacks, and sometimes it was his fault, but he's also doing really good things when he didn't have actually good protection in front of him. And that part was evident and obvious. I think you probably would have seen that from CJ too. I mean, it's impossible to know, obviously, but I think just because of the way he's wired and honestly his physical stature, he's just more... He's more physically built to be in a bad situation like that.
That was the big thing. I was listening to Charlotte radio yesterday when this news broke, and I'm like, oh, I want to hear the instant reaction to this. And that was the thing, and that might be the thing, too, if I'm a team that's looking at Bryce going, I don't know, is they invested heavily in the offensive line with him in this offseason. Like, they signed two offensive linemen. I forget the names, but they signed two. Like, one was a guard. I think his last name's Hunt. And then Damian Lewis, I think, was the other one. They invested heavy in the offensive line, and that part has worked. The offensive line pass protecting's actually been very good these first two games. Caleb Williams was pressured 23 snaps against the Texans. Bryce Young was pressured 4 snaps against the Chargers on Sunday and losing 26-3. So I think that was the thing that Panther fans and probably the Panthers themselves were like, look, like all this investment that we made to help the kid, it's actually working. We went and got receivers for him, too. He can't hit them. We went and got Deontay Johnson from the Steelers, and we drafted Xavier Leggett in the first pick of the second round, and we gave two offensive linemen each $15 to $20 million. He got pressured four times the whole game, and we're scoring 3 points. He throws for 84 yards in the game.
I was reading this article, Sean, about, I guess, the big thing in New York City these days amongst the super rich is that they're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on these people that help their kids prep for the college application process, taking your tests, doing the interviews, helping them out with their essays, certainly not writing the essays for them.
No.
And I just have this picture of just some, you know, some of those parents are spending hundreds of thousands of dollars and they got some kid that's just a dolt.
Just a moron. That's Bryce.
You can give him all the training he wants and they're going to be like, so what are your goals in coming to this this institution? Like, oh, I want to get laid. What's the poon like around here? Hey, dump that, Ben.
Yeah. 9:30.
Yeah, I think that. There's just some, picking his nose while the counselor's asking him the question.
Is the answer A, B, or C? Mashed potatoes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. D'Amico Ryans, final look back at the Bears and the two biggest things coming out of this game, NFL wise, with the Texans. D'Amico had some strong takes on both of these things, and we'll hear from the Texans head coach coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
A lot of great things on tape. I mean, first and foremost, we were just excited to get the win. Right? And I think for me, it was a team win, right? When we needed plays on offense, they made plays, right? We needed the kicking game to step up, right? Emi had an outstanding game. Again, I mentioned it yesterday, but I think he's one of the only kickers in NFL history, back-to-back weeks of over three kicks over 50 yards. So Emi is playing lights out for us, and that was one thing that definitely stood out in the game. And defensively, just seeing the guys just swarm. You know, we talk about the D-line and what they deal with all the pressures, but just watching Petrie and watching how relentless he was, you know, every rep, no matter if he was rushing, no matter if he's in coverage, like he was all over the field, sideline to sideline, playing relentless. And it was just exciting to see, you know, our style of play on defense just showed through the tape from all three levels of our defense. All the guys were playing with great effort. All the guys were playing physical. Just love to see that style.
We asked the question before, how close are the Astros to the best version of what they're going to be heading into the postseason? I'd pose a similar question, Seth, with D'Amico. I know it's only two games, but with the Texans defense, like, how close do you think this defense is to what D'Amico views as the best version, as optimal, as like the best version it can be?
They haven't shown up yet.
Yeah.
I think that in an ideal world for him, he wouldn't want to blitz as much as he did the other night. Okay. There's a risk reward when it comes to blitzing, and you know, it's always a matter of finding the right balance. There's a part of D'Amico, I think, that genuinely just wants to have a front four that is as good as any other team blitzing. Mm-hmm. That you can get as good a pass rush with your front four when you have guys really humming and multiple guys who can destroy double team blocks and all of that. It just makes it easier to play really good defense and safer defense because the you've got like guys like Derek Stingley and Kamari Lassiter. No matter how good they are, you don't want them to be tested all the time. You're right. Just tempting fate. So I think that he's probably really happy that strategy worked out the way it did. But he also knows that if you're going against Matt Stafford or some other quarterback that is a veteran and knows how to anticipate blitz and everything else like that, that it's not you can't rely on it all the time. So I think he's closer than he was last year. I think the thing that he's probably most excited about, that I'm most excited about, that nobody else cares about, is that they're tackling better.
Yeah.
And it just right now they have five total missed tackles in two games, whereas last year they averaged 7.6 missed tackle per game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
They missed five in the first quarter of games last year.
They were second in the league in missed tackles in a bad way. They had the second most missed tackles in the league last year, whereas right now they're tied for, it's early in the season, like fifth or sixth in the league, but they're doing very, very well and actually having fundamentally sound tackling. So I think that's probably the thing that he's most happy about, because That's one of those things that lots of other things fall in line when you're doing that right.
Yes.
You're paying attention to detail there. I think he wants to have a game where they get seven sacks, but six of them are on four-man pass rushes.
Right. Yeah, like everybody along the defensive line gets one, and maybe Will and Daniil each get a couple, something like that. Yeah. There are two big things coming out of this game, I would say, that the league maybe has eyes on. Certainly two things that, as you'll hear from D'Amico, have been turned into the league to relook at from the game on Sunday, the win, the 19-13 win over the Bears. The first one is the sideline escapades of the Bears when Azeez Alshire wound up on their sideline after legally hitting Caleb Williams in bounds very, very hard. Bears didn't like it, and they surrounded Azeez Alshire over there, and I choose to believe Azeez Alshire was forced to punch one of those Bears in the face just to get him off of him. That's what I choose to believe. Here's D'Amico Ryans.
Even though the guy that he punched in the face was the one who was standing furthest away from him. But
You got preventative measures, Seth. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, is what they say. So if I punch this guy early, then I know he won't get me. Anyways, here's D'Amico Ryans with Azeez and the bench situation.
From my perspective, seeing Azeez, you know, he had a big hit on the quarterback, and everyone gets a little antsy when the quarterback gets hit on the sideline. But if the quarterback stays in, he's going to get hit. Like, and now I think everybody's a little sensitive when there are big hits in the league. Like, we still play a physical game, and you're going to get hit hard if you're playing against us. That's just how we operate here. And, you know, what happened after that, Azeez is, of course, he's surrounded by a lot of their players and also some staff, and they are surrounding him. We got people pushing Azeez and kick, like, so we have to, we have to be better, right, from protecting all players involved, especially when something happens on the opposite sideline. Like, just have to be better. And we know, you know, from Azeez's perspective, we, you know, can't throw punches or anything like that. But just overall, we just have to be able to protect players, and it goes both ways. When you got guys surrounding one of our players and ununiformed staff that's surrounding, and then that in that little mix-up as well, like, that's a problem, and we have to get it fixed.
I got to go back and watch this now and just see exactly who was surrounding Azeez Alshire.
Everybody was there was one guy with a there was a guy with a blue he was holding a paper. So I'm guessing a position coach or something. But I didn't. There wasn't. I don't know what they were saying. Alshire had said something about, like, you know, basically there's certain things you say and don't say. So who knows exactly what was going on there? It was kind of tame in terms of it didn't seem like anything that doesn't happen a lot. I think the Texans probably surrounded a guy as he went out of bounds at least once in that game.
They definitely did, yeah.
Yeah, I can remember. I can't remember the specific instance.
Yeah.
So I think D'Amico, if anything, there was probably calling out the Eberflus's staff more so than anything else. If you guys are instigating that instead of pushing your own guys back, like, what are you actually trying to accomplish there? I think the other part of it, though, too, is, I mean, look at that game. All right, you had Tyreek Stevenson, who I was looking at that chart I sent you yesterday, is right now performing. He's probably one of the worst cornerbacks on a good defense right now.
Mm-hmm.
His big tough guy move was poking somebody in the eye through the face mask.
Yeah.
All right, and he drew a penalty. Good job. And then just punching Nico Collins in the head. I would say he was trying to jam him, but I don't think he was even, because it wasn't a very effective jam. Nico ended up getting a touchdown on the play.
Right.
Yeah, I think their tough guy moves are mostly just kind of a whole lot of jabbering and jawing after the whistle. I'd prefer my guys to be tough, you know, between the snap and the whistle instead of after the whistle.
Yeah, well, what Tyreek Stevenson did, he's not a good teammate, because you saw on that play, all he did was gas Nico Collins up, and Nico Collins wound up pie-facing Jalen Johnson in the end zone because Nico was so fired up about Tyreek Stevenson being such an a-hole to him. So all Stevenson did was basically throw Jalen Johnson in front of a moving bus named Nico Collins. Destination end zone for that bus. Yeah. The other issue coming out of the game on Sunday night was Joe Mixon, who suffered an ankle injury. It looked like it could have been as a result of the very play that the NFL is trying to legislate out of the game, which is a hip drop tackle. Here was D'Amico Ryans. Will you ask the NFL to review the tackle on Joe Mixon?
Yeah, whenever there are plays of that nature, as the hip drop or the issue with Aziz on the sideline, we always want to send those into the league to make sure we're correct in what we're saying to our players. We just want to make sure we're coaching our players the right way and make sure we're in within lines of the rules and playing the game the right way. So we always try to send those plays into the league to make sure we have clarity, so our players have clarity when they're on the field so they can play as fast as possible and leave no doubt.
Yeah.
This is a classic instance where something's not a big threat until all of a sudden they come for you.
Yeah.
I feel like there are a lot of people who are up in arms right now in Houston about them not calling that a hip drop tackle, who adamantly opposed any kind of legislation about the hip drop tackle this offseason. The whole thing about the hip drop tackle is that it's lazy at the end of the day. If you want to be old school, you can still be old school and say that they shouldn't be allowed to hip drop tackle, because all you have to do, instead of people will say, well, how are you supposed to bring him down in that moment? Keep driving your feet. Old school tackling. That's right. All it is. You're being lazy and falling on the guy's ankles. It's lazy. It's bordering on dirty, because before, I think guys just started kind of doing it because they're trying to keep their head out of contact. You don't want to get flagged for this or that. But now they're just being lazy and also dirty because they know that you're not supposed to be doing it. And Joe Mix's ankle is hurt because of it. So another instance of Chicago being more dirty than good, I think. Now this is a team. I all of a sudden hate Chicago.
Plus, I
met some of Chicago's worst in the fan base during the lead up to that game. There's at least when Browns fans come at you, you can tell that they actually don't really believe anything they're saying. They're like, all right, listen, I know. But listen, I got to play the part.
I know I feel like
Bears fans, where do you get off being as deluded as you are about your football team
and
your quarterback?
Got out of there as fast as I could, man. Yeah.
I couldn't even talk smack about how the Bears could have drafted C.J. Stroud because I had these Bears fans being like, you idiot, they didn't draft him because they knew that they could draft Caleb Williams. I was like, what the hell are you talking about?
That's
my entire point, you clowns.
I'll tell you what, maybe a residual or like a ripple effect of the Panthers moving on from Bryce Young, or at the very least benching him. I did hear more people pointing out that, combined with Caleb Williams getting just way late on Sunday night, I did hear more people bringing up the point that you've repeatedly brought up for the last year, which is that, hey, does anybody realize as we're celebrating Ryan Poles that he could have just drafted C.J. Stroud and you don't have to deal with any of this stuff?
I don't know.
More people are bringing that up now, Seth.
I had predicted
part of a movement.
I had predicted that they wouldn't mention it during the broadcast at all.
Yeah.
And I saw that a boatload of people had bookmarked that tweet. So yeah. I didn't hear him do it, and I haven't gotten any replies to it. So I'm guessing that they never mentioned, Collinsworth never bothered to mention that.
Yep. Reggie Atatula, John Lopez are here. Gentlemen, how are we feeling?
Terrific. Can I hop in on the Bears bashing?
Yeah, of course. By all means.
I have a buddy that lives in Chicago and is a Bears fan, mm-hmm. and I know just how to push his buttons.
Mm-hmm.
That 85 Bears team, they should have won 3 Super Bowls.
Oh, yeah.
They should. I said, just one? With that squad?
Yeah.
With Walter Payton and Jim McMahon and that defense and all that, they should have won at least 3.
I was up in that area in the aftermath of that. I went off to college up 90 minutes from Chicago in 87,
mm-hmm.
and I can tell you, so that was 2 seasons afterwards. Bears fans were miserable over that very thing.
Yes.
That we got one out. And it was a dominant one, for sure, but that's all they got. Reggie, the 85 Bears were this team, let me tell you.
That played in 1985.
Yeah, they did. They did this thing called the Super Bowl Shuffle. How you feeling, man?
Feeling all right. I'm going to go ahead and unleash in confession just off jump. I feel like you heard the start of our broadcast yesterday. I think I was a little too negative on a victory Monday.
Okay.
I think Seth was talking about this a little earlier, just some of the, you know, the late game, the way that felt, some of the frustrations. I think I let that kind of cloud my judgment. Because, again, you look at power rankings and such, and everybody talking about this team, and they're like Super Bowl contenders, clearly. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess I came in the wrong angle from this.
I think it's fair, man. I think that, look, Reggie, you just have higher standards than others.
That's right.
How about that?
Expectations are on a different level now.
Yeah.
It is. It's funny. Sometimes I think even in talking about an opponent, when you're kind of talking, the last week I had people upset with me that I was pointing out various good things about the Bears. And it's foreign to me because as a player, as a coach, do people have some illusion of D'Amico Ryans walking into the meetings on Wednesday and being like, how can I tell you what, guys? It's going to be an easy week.
We're good.
I got to tell you, not very impressive at all out of the Bears. Yeah.
Well, when I was listening yesterday, and I texted Reggie and Lopez and Figgy, but with one of the instances where I was listening, I'm like, and Reggie sounds like it's a 162 game guy in baseball right now.
It's a marathon, like, not a sprint.
Telling me Reggie is it's a 17 game season guy? Come on.
Marathon, not a sprint, baby.
You got to crank up that delusion meter,
and you,
man,
said it's 17 games. How about 20 games?
Oh, there you go. See? You're off to.
He's back, baby.
He's back. Yeah. Now I'm the one. Yeah.
That's how you do it. You flip the script.
That's it, man. Good job. All right. Seth, antibodies to you. Enjoy that cool weather, man.
Antibodies to you and to everybody I wish death upon today. I just know that I really meant it and I'm doubling down on it. Okay.
He meant it.
I offer no retractions.
He meant it. He did. He meant it. Every word of it. All right. We're done. We're out of time.
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.